time.
It's tea time.
Tea time.
Everybody, welcome back to Tea Time. Today we have the amazing Tyler Henry.
Tyler!
He's in the
I'm
building.
So excited you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. Oda Mae Brown is in the house.
Oh!
I'm here. I'm feeling the spirits.
Oda Mae Brown,
the table. You better watch out. It's going to start shaking. I'm going to levitate.
Oh my gosh.
I will flip this bitch over. It Don't happens. Play with me.
She will. Hi, Tyler. How are you?
So good. Good to see you again. It's been a few weeks.
It has been
reading.
A few weeks.
Yeah, that
minute.
Was amazing.
Thank you.
We left there like...
changed.
I don't even know how to
My mom still hasn't
it.
Seen it. She's scared.
Yeah. You know, it's an intense thing. Getting a reading is very vulnerable and intense, and people really responded to that with you both. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for
thank
having
you
us.
For having
amazing.
Us. We want to do some readings for you
I love
today.
It. Read me to filth, honey.
We're going to read you hard.
We're going to read
Let's
you hard.
Go.
I'm ready. Whoa. I'm open.
Whoa.
Okay, that was too much, apparently.
We're going to pull back the surface of the book cover, and
there
we're
going to
read chapter one.
Chapter one, here we go.
Yeah.
What sushi do you eat? What's your sushi order?
You know, I just am more of the seaweed and rice.
Okay.
You know, I try to kind of minimize the pescatarian element in my life. It's a, you know, water energy.
Are you a vegetarian?
I eat pasta, just pasta. So whatever that is.
So you're a carbitarian?
Carbitarian, exactly. It's so healthy. Yeah, I don't, you know, eat. Just carbs are sugar, I guess, I suppose.
Yes,
Wait,
they
I'm
are.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tyler, just walk me through.
Yes.
A day in the life of eating.
Bowl of pasta, bowl of french fries. And then for dinner, we polish it off with a bowl of pasta and a side bowl of french fries together. And then it's great. It's wonderful.
Is there sauce on this?
No. I butter. Butter, salt, pepper. Very generic, very plain. Make my ancestors
gosh.
Proud.
Yes. I mean, butter pasta yeah. is divine.
The best,
like,
the
it's
best.
One of the best things in the world.
Especially if you, you know, live to eat. You don't eat to live. And in my case, I just do it for sustenance. You know, I'm like, let's get this over with.
So you don't have any drive to eat.
Mm-mm.
Well,
so is it a
I'm
shocked. Is there a, like, is it spaghetti? Is it bucatini?
All of it.
Penne?
All of it. Give me, oh, that was a fun throat noise. Yes. No, I love it. You've got the wheels. I had the wheels yesterday.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
There's all types, though.
You're giving
meat,
child food. You're giving kid
I eat it
meal.
With my fingers. Just piling
Oh, my God. The yeah. wheels from Louise's. That was my favorite.
It was so good.
The Alfredo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, wow. Okay.
Well, okay.
So what
yeah,
about,
cool.
like, bread and butter?
No, I mean, yeah, with pasta. On top.
He
actually,
likes wet bread.
I like wet bread. How did you know?
That's possible.
That's how we make the money.
Wet bread.
Wet bread.
Oh, that's hilarious. How I would have never yeah. guessed it.
I don't know. You know, I mean, man of simple tastes. I'm just trying to kind of keep it moving.
And
stabilize
no dessert.
Up blood sugar. When everything's dessert, nothing's dessert.
So it's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And you're just like,
Mama, bake
pasta.
Me a dumpling.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just all carbs. Like, the more bland, the better. And it's just goop. And it's just like Soylent Green. It just like.
Since
eats.
You were a boy?
Yeah. In my yeah. girlhood, it actually was more of a pescatarian.
We'll get there.
I should say that later. Yeah, since you were a young boy, was this always
a real boy?
Yeah,
and a real boy was a real boy.
Like, boy. Oh my gosh. Okay, this makes me feel
That's
better
cool.
about how I eat because
how are you
I eat very, very routined,
yes.
and I eat the same foods, but I cycle them through.
Go.
So, like, today is my potato day.
Oh.
So I will have a purple sweet potato after this wow. with sunflower seed butter and a yogurt, and that's my meal. And then, like, tomorrow is my not potato day, so I'll have a salad.
Quick question. Sunflower butter? They can milk a sunflower?
They can.
How does that happen?
Really,
really,
really
slowly.
Carefully.
Tweezers.
Exactly. Just minutely.
That's
no,
incredible.
Yeah. I do. I love peanut butter,
yeah.
and I eat an insane amount of it when I eat it. Yeah. So I had to... kind of pull myself out of eating that many legumes because of the mold.
You're a bean gal.
I was, yeah. And
yeah.
so I was like, I thought I was a nut gal, but really I'm a bean gal. But then I had to go to a seed. So I was just like, yeah.
Seed gal.
I was
that's
flicking
right.
the bean.
Yeah.
I can flick a bean, yeah. but.
Yes, she can.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. A good legume really will change your life. It'll help regulate your digestive system.
That part.
You don't even need Activia.
Carbitarian, calm down over there.
You're
only eating
I barely
bread.
Know. It's like a Siberian wilderness down there. I'm very constipated.
Do you cook?
Oh, no.
No.
I don't cook at all.
No to both.
No to both.
No to both.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well,
but,
then...
you know, we're going to send fiber to me. Oh, there's a whole group of people here. Hi.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's embarrassing. Hello, everyone.
I know. I saw everyone shuffling. Hi.
But
we
yes,
have a live audience.
We
today.
Love a good legume.
You should take psyllium husk.
I have before.
I take the capsules.
Have you ever done magnesium nitrate?
That's me.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm the only one who likes it.
Otherworldly. Do you like
it? It's very, very sour.
It's very sour, but it's like, you guys, that feeling of cleanliness.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. She likes to pee out of both holes.
Okay, calm down. Calm down.
That's really what it is.
It's a lot.
So what's been inspiring you guys lately?
Water. You know, being by the water.
Really?
It really has.
Yeah.
Really? No, I have. With all things going on in LA as of late, I've been really liking going by the beach and just kind of getting that good water energy.
That's nice.
I understand that.
What about you? Where are we going?
Shorts from YouTube have been inspiring me. And this action, listen, like 2025, I too am in a mental decline. A little bit of a mental decline.
2025 has been crazy. Has it been wild for you?
It has. I mean, between fires and having a cold. I'm not contagious, don't worry. I'm not going to get you. But it's been a lot. But comparatively to a lot of people, I'm very lucky and very thankful.
Yeah. Correct. We are all very lucky and thankful, and we send our prayers out to those who need them.
Absolutely.
But we've basically said that we want to return. Mm-hmm. Refund,
and
exchange,
unsubscribe
to 2025, and do it again. I feel assaulted. Like, it's just been one thing after another. Like, I can't catch a break.
It really has.
And literally, we just moved into a new house, and it's been a beautiful thing, but it's been one thing after the other. And when the rains happened, we had a leak. It was like a flood. Yeah, it's just too much.
Floods. The Ides of March aren't even here yet. We're already up a creek without
a
paddle. Pray for you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get together. Gonna hit up my Facebook groups of the prayer warriors.
Thank you.
And we're gonna get through March at least.
I appreciate that. Yeah. My question to you, being that we told you all of our drama,
is
when you go through drama, what does Tyler Henry do to calm down? Like, what is the go-to day of calmness?
Just snatch wigs. No, when I'm in public, I'll just take scissors and just kind of sneak up behind people and go.
Oh, I love that.
And just
that.
Run away.
She loves you.
It just satisfies something. I don't know.
I think
I was a wig maker in a past life. It's a great stress reliever. A wig maker.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so, you know, just kind of like working out that past life karma.
Yeah, for sure. She likes to squeeze the candy in line at Joanne's.
No.
Well, all the bags.
Just to leave it for...
Just to leave it...
Specifically at Joanne's. If it's not Joanne's, forget the fuck about it. No. I have this thing. Raven started calling me the bugle snatcher because it started... You know bugles?
Yeah, with the thing. Yeah.
So... You know when you go to... Exactly. Just that. When you go to...
Joanne's.
Like a Pier 1. I don't... Yeah. Or
just
whatever.
Just stick with Joanne's, okay, Joanne's. It's really funny.
But they have the aisle with the candies and...
Licorices.
Yes.
Bubblegums.
Exactly. So I would go in that aisle and I'd always find the bag of bugles and I would just crunch them, which is so rude. Because then if anyone wants to buy it, they're buying basically... Like powder.
It's okay because whoever buying your powder also has half a haircut from Tyler Henry.
There you go. Absolutely.
So y'all go off somewhere.
Exactly.
So literally, that's what happens when you eat a whole bunch of carbs, kid.
There you go.
Yeah. Well.
Oh well. Now I know who to blame when I'm in line. I'm gonna be like, these bugles aren't up to par.
Yeah. And then when I go like this, and I go, oh, my hair's gone. I know who to blame.
Yeah.
That's
right. You guys.
Yeah, we're bad little kids apparently.
Henry.
Badasses. Yeah,
we would put gum in people's hair and then I would have fixed the problem.
For sure. You know what I used to do?
Yeah.
I used to launch fishy crackers at people, like spit them.
Which also known as goldfish because nobody calls them fishy crackers.
You knew what I meant though, didn't you?
Of course.
So the goldfish, whatever.
Yes.
If you put the tail part in your mouth and then you launch it, it's like a rocket.
Like it just shoots it out and you get like a little propellant.
It has a really good aerodynamic thing because the point in the tail and it's like a little plane, and I used to love launching them at people.
There you go.
So I would just eat fishy crackers and
so there's baby Tyler. What was your naughty
action? Mm-hmm. I'm very meticulous. I like to line things up. So as a kid, you know, take things out of the refrigerator and, you know, do a deep clean and then put it all up and then leave it for my mom to put back in.
Oh, at least you cleaned it.
Not much has changed. Though. That about sums it up. Like, I'm like, I'm here, I'm clear, we're going to make this organized to an extent. And then I am stepping back and letting...
So you have OCD?
I do. That's a big part of my personality.
Mm.
Yeah. Which isn't too, you know, annoying to claim, but it is true. It's such a huge part. I mean, anxiety and being meticulous and detail oriented.
What is like the one thing that like you stop in your tracks to fix?
You know, I don't know if it's fixing as much as it's mentally preparing, like talking in groups. Like I tour across the country. I do like a live show. And so I have to deal with like public speaking.
Yeah.
And before I have certain little rituals that I do that kind of help give me a sense of structure and affirmation. There's certainly a line there that we want to draw
because
you don't want to follow every, you know, compulsion. but it does help to have certain routines. So just maintaining that strong kind of habitual nature, to your earlier point, kind of helps me maintain some stability.
Oh.
So don't lose my cookies.
There you go.
That makes
keep
total
your cookies.
Sense.
You love your new
I,
and your cookie jar. Keep them in there.
Yeah. Definitely relate to that. I was actually recently diagnosed with OCD.
Oh.
And
I knew it all along.
Yeah. And I knew it, but I didn't claim it fully because I didn't have a diagnosis, and I thought of it like I was like, oh, Howie Mandel, like that's OCD, you know? Mm-hmm. But now that I also can look at myself through the lens, I'm like, yeah, well, I am OCD. And mine manifests in a few different ways, but it's very much the routine, the habitual nature of things.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanliness is a big one for me. Yeah, and it is probably very much tied into my anxiety.
I think you guys are long-lost siblings.
Definitely.
I'm over here like, if I do the same thing every day, I'm killing myself. I cannot do the same thing every
day.
It's literally crazy to me.
That's probably good, though, that you're in a relationship because you kind of balance each other out in that sense.
Yeah, that's what we say.
Yeah, that's what I tell her. We've helped each other.
Yeah, you've helped me keep some type of normalcy. Are you and your partners are similar like that?
You know, we are neurotic in different ways.
Are we all?
Which I think actually helps. So,
yeah.
In that case, you know, helps to have someone who gets you and also, you know, brings something to the table that you can learn from, too.
So, how long have you been with each other?
8 years now going on.
Oh, good for you.
In the gay world, that's like
that's a really two lifetimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
It's been good.
Good. Was it hard to find someone because of your profession?
You know, if anything, I think it kind of scared some people off, but it scared the right people off. So when we talk about intuition, people are sometimes weirded out if they think you can kind of get a sense of things more than what they're saying. And so I think it made people with bad intentions kind of go to the side.
Love
and
that.
Then my partner, when I met him, you know, was able to really see through to who he was and saw that he was authentic. And I knew it then, and I've known it now, and it's never changed. It's
Don't
only
get
grown
rid
stronger.
Of him. Does your mama like him?
She loves him.
She cooks
very
for
lucky.
Him?
Yep, and my dad too, which I got very lucky. Aww. Both my parents have been married for 38 years, which is like a life sentence.
Wow.
Yeah, but they're very supportive. They're my whole world.
Oh, I love that.
I know. We love Teresa. She was so sweet.
Oh, she loved getting to meet
me. It was really nice to meet her. I heard a fun little fact about you that you like making stained glass windows.
I do. Very archaic hobby. I'm like a little old man.
Oh
I get
gosh.
There with my little like pen and quill. You know, I just write letters like Thomas Jefferson makes stained glass windows, light an opium pipe. No, that doesn't happen.
That was,
you're right.
What are you talking
Victorian
about?
Victorian era
yeah,
activities, yes.
That's
very different direction.
Later.
Yeah. Later.
In the day.
Oh.
That just happens in
with
the
some
evening.
Exactly. Throw
Fire
it back.
Fire it up. Oh easy sugar.
Exactly. So yeah, and it's just kind of like a way of getting back in touch with like tactile stuff. I think with when we're on our phones, I know we're like scrolling and kind of getting to like a zit days, like drool will be like falling down my lip. So it's nice to have something to like be able to like cut and assemble and go back to, you know, day after day, kind of habitually.
So what exactly is the process of that though? Are you coloring the glass itself?
So the glass comes pre-colored generally. You can kiln your own glass or you can actually make your own colors. But I like to just buy it pre-done and then you cut it. And you just cut the shapes out of each glass panel.
With like a glass saw or something?
With a glass cutter, yeah.
A glass
cutter?
You can
use a saw as well. And then you assemble it with a bunch of metal and solder and then you create like a window.
So you can do your own patterns.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, anything you want.
What's your favorite pattern? What do you go to?
You know, I think I like mythology. There's something really powerful about history and symbolism and a lot of power. It ties into my work a lot as far as like the power of an image and how it can mean deeper things.
Cool. That's okay, speaking of your work, you discovered that you had this gift around the age of 10.
10 years old was my first premonition, technically.
And I heard that you were a hustler about it.
You know, I was out there trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And, you know, I would walk the PE track with the other boys, and that's when information would often kind of come in because it was like, you know, lackadaisical and kind of daydreaming and kind of in an imaginative state. And stuff would come in, and I'd share it with them, and then they'd, you know, freak out and either beat me up or in some cases be like, whoa, that was weird. How'd you do that? But then I ended up sharing these impressions with students and teachers.
And you charged them for it.
Yeah, I didn't. Not back then.
No?
Not back then. No.
Right.
I really from 10 to 16 was figuring out, like, how this works. I would, you know, people watch, and I think we all can kind of relate to that in one way or another. And you get feelings and impressions. And I'd notice patterns and find that certain things would kind of come up repeatedly. And just with enough trial and error, I learned how to identify subtle feelings and turn them into something substantive.
Were you nervous at the beginning when this first started happening, or?
You know, I was more overwhelmed by the responses that people gave. You know, some people were very enthusiastic in a positive sense, but most really didn't know what to do with it. So just kind of at a time when I was forming my own identity, being 10 to 13, you know, I was just trying to figure out who I was separate from this really strange thing that I could do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can relate, even if you're not a medium, to that volatile time and being equated to an identifying part of who you are without necessarily being all of who you are.
Yes.
Tricky.
Yes.
And so when did you go through that mental journey of I'm gay?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I got a little older, both were kind of difficult to process in their own ways. I think people had seen what a gay person was, even in my little town. They knew what they'd seen, like, you know, Will and Grace. They'd seen an episode. They were aware.
Jack's it.
Yes. But they didn't really know what a medium was, largely. You know, maybe Ghost Whisperer was on TV. Right. Maybe they caught an episode, but they probably changed the channel because it was kind of a religious community. Yeah. So by 16, I was, you know, squaring it up.
Got it.
Yeah.
That was right. Was that easier to assess than your gift?
Yeah,
wow.
For sure. That just kind of came naturally as preferences do. But my ability came the fact that it came a little earlier, you know, was even more formative.
When did you start doing readings officially?
I'd like to say officially at 16. I worked out of a little bookstore in my little town, and it was the only spirituality bookstore. Aww. And people would walk in, and I ended up reading one of my teachers who walked in one day. She was my first grade teacher. And I gave her a really powerful medical reading and brought through something really personal about her health. And at the time, she didn't know it to be true. And it kind of freaked her out, understandably, and I regretted how I handled it. And she contacted me months later and said that she had gone to a doctor per her son's recommendations. And indeed, she had this medical problem. It was a later stage cancer that had developed.
Oh, bye.
And she was able to get it removed and dealt with. And she thanked me via voicemail. But that was my first grade teacher. And that happened when I was, you know, a teenager.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Do you get flooded at times? Are there like places or people, like, I would imagine that, like, if you were at a cemetery or something, or is it like more?
I think it's the movie theater.
That's interesting to say that. Yeah. I think to Raven's point, there's something about being in a meditative space, like a shopping mall, strangely, is a lot more active than a graveyard. There's something about the liminality, the transience nature of kind of those environments that seems to allow for that to happen. Hospitals are really uncomfortable. Mm. And I attribute that to the fact that people spend sometimes months or weeks of their life before in a hospital. Whereas a graveyard, you know, that's kind of just more where the body goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not to say that there isn't activity in these places or when we visit, you know, graveside, but they seem to be more connected to the essence of consciousness than any physical place.
Because I saw that episode when Dr. Drew kind of scanned your brave waves, and the fact that you are in a meditative state, a prayer state, while this is happening. This is not a question, I just want to say it. I think it's amazing because you definitely are connected to this special gift, but I do believe that the more meditative people can get, they too have the ability of opening up parts of their brain and communicating. It might not be as strong as yours, but it can be in other ways. I believe that every mother has that connection with their child. I know I have that with mine. His name is Quinn and he's a Yorkie, but that's neither here nor there.
Exactly.
I feel like what you have done is just shown us that every human is special, and the fact that, you know, you had it at 10. Yeah, you might be a little bit more special than most of us. But you know what I mean? Like, if I meditate up in this bitch,
sure,
I might be able to hear my wife's stomach growling.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
No doubt about it. And the fact that intuition really speaks to all of us, just in different ways, perhaps. And I hope that this work inspires a sense of wonder and curiosity. And, you know, when we talk about belief, I don't even know what I believe in the grand scheme of larger philosophical questions. And I think we don't always have to have a belief to appreciate something, to see the value in something. Yeah. We don't have to understand someone to love them and value them.
Do you believe that Timothée Chalamet should have played Bob Dylan?
It's one of those tongue exercises, like,
Do you believe in
that? Because Raven really wanted him to play Bruce Springsteen. So.
Evidently, do you believe in life after love is the question.
Ooh. Cher does.
She does.
Cher believes.
She does.
Do you?
We share the sentiment.
Indeed. Girls. I do agree.
Yes.
That's funny.
Great. Moving
she
on.
Me so much.
Now that we got that out of the way.
No, that's gone.
Listen, it's funny. Put it in.
That's right.
Yeah. Keep this in. Keep all of this in, Jack. This is gold. If you don't do a reading for an extended period of time, do you start to feel any form of like anxiety or agitation?
Yeah, it starts backing up, you know?
Really?
I mean, it's like, whoa, like this, nothing. Yeah, I start getting real moody. Eyes start getting darker. Start looking like, oh, storm clouds start following me around when I walk outside.
Release.
Yeah, I got to get it out. Got to get that thunder and lightning. Got to, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to clear the psychic pipes.
That's crazy.
Do you have to go to that person and give it to them, or do you just have like a diary just for you?
I actually have a diary. Okay. I scribble. I kind of like have regular kind of times where I will kind of get everything out. And sometimes I'll see important things. Sometimes they're meaningless, but it's just kind of getting into that altered way of thinking and flexing the muscle.
Wow. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, Taylor. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Slash a request.
All right.
In this pot,
yes,
there is something.
Is there a dead loved one in there?
Oh God!
Did you put someone in there?
Already.
No.
Are there ashes?
I'm not going to do that to you.
Can you imagine if he just pulls his hand out,
so
just like white powder?
If I was just like going here. No, this is a
so
segment that everyone and is something everyone does on tea time. And maybe because we all have really strong intuition, we already know what's in there. I don't know, but I actually do know because I put it in there.
I don't know. Just so you know,
you're going to go in there. You're going to pull out a topic, and we're going to discuss whatever is on.
Oh boy.
This piece of paper.
I love his rings.
Is it current event? Thank you
your
so much.
Your rings are beautiful.
That is so
beautiful.
Nice of you. I appreciate it. I've got a little decor for the
They're super
the fingies.
Pretty. They look
stylish.
Like
chicken nuggies.
It's called the chicken nuggies.
Chicken nuggies.
What's it called? A
wax sealer.
Yeah.
Intaglio.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, yeah. That's what that is. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, can I?
Oh, do it whenever.
Do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
go.
It's your time.
Oh, the drama.
The drama.
Oh, my little fingies.
There's so many chicken nuggets for you to pick.
There really are in there. Okay, all right. We have inner child.
Your inner child.
Which is a good one because my inner child matches my outer child. I'm actively farting.
Oh, perfect.
It's yeah. That's
where you guys
we're crop dusting
aligned.
Actively. Us and Whoopi Goldberg.
I did it all day yesterday. I felt so bad for our organizer.
I'm so sorry.
That's terrible.
It's okay.
Do you have a strong connection to your inner child?
You know, I do. I think it's important to be able to like be the person that your inner child needs. And I mean that genuinely. Like I think back at 10 years old and feeling so different in so many ways and not even fully knowing all the ways yet, but thinking of the adult or even the teenager that I would have loved to have been able to meet, the person I needed that I wish would have pulled me aside and said, you know, you've got this, you can do this, you can be this. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage all people to like be that to themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can't do the work when you're a kid, but you can as an adult.
Well, yeah, I have arrested development, and so does my wife. Do you think you have arrested development?
I think we all. I've got a Puritanus situation going on.
A
yeah, like we're like, you know, kind of like a Peter Pan syndrome situation.
Yeah.
And so one has to, you know, work through that, certainly.
Yeah. I think I'm at 15.
Do you guys think that arrested development happens, meaning you stop kind of developing at the source age of the biggest trauma? Did that make sense?
I'm sure that's a part of it as well. For me, I feel like I stopped at 15. What happened, like, I just, and this is the best way I can describe it. When I look through my eyes, I'm looking through my 15-year-old eyes. Wow. But when I'm talking to people, but when I'm in the world, I am in my 30s. It's so weird, you guys.
I get it.
I can't help it. But I had a lot of trauma even before 15, so I don't know if that's like the whole case.
Yeah. I don't know. I was actually just trying to figure out the definition, if you will, of what.
We'll put it up here.
Yeah.
What age do you think that you're at?
I think I would probably be at 16 or 17. Yeah. And I'm granted talk like this when I was 16 and 17 too. Mm. So I sound like an old person back then. But I would say in some ways, you know, we're always moving forward, right, in life. But when certain things happen to us, it can kind of stun us into a state. And very often with trauma, I've just noticed with clients, people often kind of revert back to the age when something happened that they weren't able to process as an adult. And, you know, that can come out in a lot of different ways. Mm. It can be really, really tough to see.
Really tough. Babe, what age do you think your inner child is asking for you to take care of it? What age is that?
Oh my gosh, I think so many different ages, but 7 is the first one that always comes to my mind. But I think that's also because I've been told that so many things happened when I was 7. Like my dad left and things changed in my family dynamics significantly. But I can see little Miranda at
so cute
younger than 7 needing help. And I can see myself up to, I mean,
37.
36-year-old Miranda needing help. So shit, I don't know. But I definitely feel younger than what I feel like I should feel like at this age. Like I look at other people who are my same age and I'm like, whoa, they seem like adults and I don't seem like an adult.
I feel like a lot of people can relate to that, like watching. Everyone looks around, they're like, is everyone else, you know, a parent or feels like an adult or feels like a, so that they've got it all figured out, and none of us really do. We're all just doing our best.
Exactly.
No.
It's very, very true. It's all we can do is try and
get through.
I didn't mean to make it less about the deeper part of the inner child conversation, which is how you started, which is literally what that inner child means. But I kind of just wanted to know everyone's like where they sat. And going back to how you were bringing up inner child, which I think is also very important, is being there for that inner child you. One thing that my wife woke up one morning and had an epiphany. She was like, this is the same body I was in when I was a kid. And I was like, yeah, babes, you should expand on that, because I thought that was such a good revelation.
Well, you know how you hear people say that the body keeps the score? And I've always known that and understood that, I thought, but it hit differently that day for whatever reason, because I was like, this is, these are the same hands. Like, this, I am in the same vessel that I've always been in. So no wonder this is showing up in this way. I don't remember. There's something specifically had happened to me where I was like, whoa, I think I had reacted a certain way. And I was like, no wonder. And I saw something recently, actually, that was really interesting. A woman had a glass jar and she knocked it off the counter. And she asked then her viewers, like, what did you feel? Did you kind of go, oh, did you gasp? Whatever. She goes, that is a physical and learned body response that you had watching this. But you, as an adult, have to remind yourself that, like, you're safe. And if you want to break a cup in your house, you're an adult who can do it.
Unless somebody else paid for it and you got to pay them back for it. Or you don't want to have destruction of property.
Opa!
Exactly. Or Opa! Yeah. Mazel tov!
Right? It's like, unless it was a really nice gift that we got for a housewarming, and then you can't, because then that you person's can't break gonna come.
It. Let's start acting like adults,
but
people.
Okay? You guys understand the point of what I'm saying, is that the body and that physical response that happened, which is kind of a fear or shock or startled, doesn't necessarily have to happen. Which leads me to the question of healing. And have you done anything specific to heal your trauma, inner child trauma?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of importance on introspection. And in every reading that I do, I'm always taken aback by when I connect. As much as I don't know, what I have learned is that there clearly still seems to be some continuation of self. People still seem to retain who they were, but also continue to be. And with that comes a lot of, you know, clarity, understanding of what was important and what wasn't, what was worth focusing on and what never was. And that gives people an understanding of their ego in a larger capacity. And the lessons I've been able to glean from that have kind of helped me, to some extent, keep it in check. Not to destroy ego, but to build a healthy ego structure that can kind of navigate the world in a way that allows for neuroflexibility, resilience, the ability to kind of keep it going and moving despite the unpredictability of life.
Does your partner help you with this as well?
I think I help him with it more.
That's weird.
And then I think he helps me in a different sense, in the way that, you know, when I come home, we're less inclined to talk about work. He's really there more about the nitty gritty and the, I don't care what show you are on, you know, it's more about like, who are you at your core?
Yep.
And that's important. I need that, you know, in my relationship.
Most
that
definitely.
That makes total sense.
My wife always is saying how she's going to help me outside of work, and she's my, my lack of vulnerability and my avoidance status, she's very much helping me in that world too. And it's, I think when you find the right partner that could give a fuck about what you do, for lack of a better term, it does help you grow your inner child and take care of it a lot better, because of the awareness that they have when you are blinded sometimes by the work that we do. And when we work in front of the camera, and outside of the work that you do when you were 10, but just taking it and then going to camera and, entertaining people, horrible word for it, but you know what I mean. It turns it into something else on top of the fact that you have this gift. I can only imagine the mental strain sometimes and pressure that you go through, because it's double the pleasure, double the trauma.
Absolutely. You said it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that is the fame element / the like arrested development inner child. I think that they are really connected. I used to work as a personal assistant. And I was talking to another friend of mine who used to work as a personal assistant. This was years ago. And she was saying to me that she believed that whenever anyone reaches their peak moment of fame is when their brain just stops.
And
babes, you're actually 16 months old, according to her theory.
I peaked at 16 months?
Okay, oh, no.
Damn.
No, 16 then probably, right? That's
no,
a Raven?
No, I mean, I was on Cosby Show at 3, and then That's a Raven was at 6, so I peaked twice.
Okay, lots of peeking.
She's been peeking. But I thought that was interesting because what I took away from what she was saying was just when you have an event, which I think becoming like super famous can also be traumatic, but something chemically must alter in the brain. Totally. And I think that the shifts that you either have as like a young child who's experiencing a trauma, or you are a young child experiencing fame, or an adult experiencing fame, like something
When did you know you were famous?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, funny question. I went on The View and then, you know, ended up getting followed by TMZ on that trip.
Wow.
When I went, was walking down the street, and that was so weird. And I was like, are they following someone else? Like, I was looking around and it was very sweet. But a huge adjustment. And I think from what I've learned, both in reading, you know, celebrity clients, many of which got famous early on, and then dealing with my own situation on a much lesser scale, I might add, I've learned that I think there's something about safety. And being exposed to everybody can make a person feel very unsafe inherently, because you don't know who's looking at you and you can't see them, just fundamentally. And that was an adjustment, I think, the greatest adjustment to make.
Who helped you with that?
I think having good parents and a partner that was stable all allowed me to kind of, again, not be defined by my occupation and instead just be chill with people who really didn't focus all that much on the other stuff.
That's awesome, because you are one of the hardest working people in Hollywood. I swear to God, you always got a show. I'm over here looking for jobs. Tyler here, they got a show on Netflix, on HGTV, this man on YouTube.
You got every job. Your wait list is...
We got Timu, we're coming out. That's right. No, can you imagine?
Oh my God.
That's right, we're going on Red Note. We're going to China. We are doing it all.
Red Note was cute.
That was a moment.
It was cute for 5 minutes.
It was like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I did download it.
I got anxiety. I didn't know how to read the
It made me nervous. Oh, I was like, oh my God.
Wait, so you're a TikToker? Are you, which
one? I mean,
is it?
I jumped up on TikTok. I did. I finally gave in. It's okay. Tyler Henry Medium, I think. It's amazing. And they're really selling it. But you know, it's fun. It's good. It's absolutely brain rotted my attention span.
Good for you.
So everything's 100%. Just about 3 seconds. And if someone's talking,
you can't watch a TV show, you can't watch a movie, you can't do anything now. You just have to watch
the captions on. Captions. Gotta do the captions. 100%. Everyone's reading captions now.
What are you watching on TV now?
Nowadays? I don't know. What are you watching on TV?
We're watching
so
The
many
Pit.
Things.
Oh.
It's really good.
What? Is that HBO? Or?
Yeah, it's Max. Max.
Yeah.
It's so, really good.
It's really good. Noah Wiley plays
an
emergency
doctor.
So good.
He's taking it back to his ER days. But I think it's such a good show, and I was listening to somebody review it who is an ER nurse, and they said that this was the most accurate representation of a pit-like environment or a high emergency. What?
Yeah. I was just nothing.
You're just egging me on. The most accurate representation of that space.
Right.
So I was like, that's cool. Wow. It feels like more authentic shows and things are coming to TV.
Just eat your heart out, Grey's Anatomy.
All day long.
And House, while great, was not,
it
wasn't hitting it for me
in
the realism.
What movie or show do you give a thumbs up for your experience?
Oh, Mothman Prophecies is a really good movie. Probably never heard of it.
I
guess it's
like
a
love
random,
Mothman
random.
Prophecies.
You know it?
Oh my God.
It's like an old sci-fi movie in 2001.
No,
not that old, evidently, right? In 2001. But really good movie. It's about a mystery in West Virginia in the 1960s, and I'll leave it at that. But it asserts a lot of paranormal elements. It shows that it's so much more than a ghost that goes bump in the night. You never even see the spirit throughout the entire film. It really speaks to the psychological effect of the paranormal. And I encourage people to check it out.
That's cool.
It's
hard, though, you know? You can meet chefs for the bear, or you can meet other things, and it's like, how close is it to your actual experience?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, was Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost accurate?
Not for me, but for some people, absolutely.
There's different versions of it.
Different ways doing what we do.
Doing the thing.
That's right, making
doing
it happen.
Doing a damn thing.
That makes
Do you
sense.
Play video games?
I used to a little bit as a kid, but first-person shooters, very violent. It was very strange.
It is.
I was very, like, in
Got
it. Yeah.
Then artistic.
Then I grew, like, a frontal lobe, and then it worked out.
That happened?
Started making windows.
I'm trying to see to the future.
What was one of the craziest things that you remember believing as a kid?
Oh, as a kid. I, you know, I had a neighbor who believed in Santa Claus for an obscenely long period of time, and I killed it for everyone. I destroyed the illusion to my kindergarten class.
Hilarious.
I came out one day and I was like, he's not real. I hate to break it to you.
Bugles at your rear.
Yeah, exactly. And then my cousin, I told her, I was like, he's not real. But my neighbor, he was like, I heard someone on the roof last night, and it was December 25th. And I was like, it has to be Santa. And he was like, I think it was. We need to, like, capture evidence of this. So we went, like, through great extensive lengths to try to capture, like, footage of Santa. And there was a person on his roof. But I never determined who it was, so jury's still out. He might be crazy. Real, or it might have been a parent of his, you know.
Yes, or someone trying to steal some.
Or someone trying to go down the chimney and grab him. It was a very JonBenet situation.
Oh,
like,
my
no,
God. Poor
no.
JonBenet.
Did you see that dog?
That was a wild documentary.
That was a crazy dog.
Absolutely.
They just keep making them.
I want that girl to go to sleep. Let
it's
her
a
be.
Segue. They need to just step back. They just need to let it be what it is.
Let that little girl be.
What about you, babes? Any crazy thing that you believed when you were a kid that you remember?
That I still believe today or
back then?
Yeah,
back then.
Because I believe everything still. What do I believe? I'm going to be honest. I believe that when my brain tells me if I do this, I will have this. And it's like if you walk 3 more minutes, you will get a television show. It's, you know, stuff like that.
And you did that as a kid as well?
I did that as a kid as well.
That sounds a little OCD.
It's giving OCD.
It's
giving like step on the crack, you break your mother's back situation.
Really?
Like, oh, sorry.
Totally.
Oh,
superstitious.
Wow. Well, if I don't do it, I don't get it. So maybe it's real.
There you go.
You're,
we'd
like,
never
bargaining
know.
With yourself.
I bargain with myself on a regs.
That's
that OCD?
Yeah, I mean, it's I can relate in that.
I was going to say it's more of my dissociative because my other voices are talking to me while I'm like chilling in the background. But if you guys listen, I just want to be a part of the crew.
There you go.
My thing is I have like where I relate to you is like if I'm on the treadmill and I have to get like to 36 minutes. It's also interesting, like my brain attaches to certain numbers.
Right.
Like I have to do this for 12 minutes. I have to do this for 36. I have to do this for 22 minutes and 7 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Like I have set regimen with numbers like that.
I have a great medication I'm taking and it has helped like clear up the void. Like it is, it's like
I'll get that note
super
afterwards.
Drive. Like I'm, it's amazing. It's like Windex to the brain.
Really?
Yeah, you can just see
and
crystal
all of that
clear.
You
gone.
Can stay,
it just,
Tyler.
The
you
voices
can stay.
Just kind of go
Tyler's
back into
like,
Hades.
So Miranda, we're going to have to do a little intervention here. Yeah. We're going to really have to help you.
It's
with
all
your,
right.
I'm like, hilarious. I just need 22 minutes and 7 seconds until we can talk about that.
That's very specific timetable we're working
yes,
on.
It is. It is.
That is.
I don't know. I don't know, you guys. Okay, so you were a little like OCD.
I was not
kitty.
OCD. That is not OCD
Whatever,
for me. That's
were...
wishful thinking. That's my therapist said. It was wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking.
But then she also said I had bipolar by giving me the right medication. Anyway, I like that.
Tyler was more in the vein of like believing in the Santa Claus. That's where we were trying to go, babes. That's where we were trying
Well, I was like, you know, I was like, is the Earth flat? I'm not sure. And then I like, you know, got on a plane.
Yeah, right.
Which to this day I'm like, how can they get on a plane and still say it's flat? I'm not sure.
Oh, they're still saying it's flat.
They're still saying it's flat. I mean, you can tell it's not. Like,
it's
just go up there.
Obviously, like, come on, like, everybody.
There's a concave
I think
component.
Your mom is a flat earther, isn't she?
We're not going to bring up my mother in this conversation. We're just going to move on.
And granted, I was 6 when I believed the Earth was flat. I'm just throwing that out there. I wasn't like even a like a late bloomer in the teen years. I was like, no, we have geography. We know
exactly.
what's going on.
We know what's going on.
Yeah,
and we're not going to talk about that.
I don't think that I had any strange or funny beliefs. I was really, as a kid, I wanted information. So I, at 3 years old, like went to my mom and I said, how did I get here? How was I made?
At three.
And my mom,
did she tell you
said,
the truth?
She literally was like, I had sex. And this is what this meant. And I went to preschool and I told everyone how they were born. And I was like, your dad's penis went in your mom's vagina and it made you because your mom and dad did the sperm and the egg. That's what I called it. I called it the sperm and the egg. And I got many phone calls home. Like it was not welcome.
You and I, between preschool and kindergarten, we would have really opened their eyes between the bears and the bees.
Yep.
You know, birds and the bees and Santa Claus. Yeah, not.
Yep.
It now was, you know, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
here you,
wow
go.
You guys. Yeah. Wow. I was not invited to that party, and I'm really mad about it.
Inquisitive.
It was very not inquisitive.
No?
I wasn't inquisitive. Not my family. Don't ask that many questions. It's grown folks' business.
Yep.
You're wasting time.
Yep.
Go get on stage and act.
It's a stork. It's a stork.
Exactly.
You got dropped off.
Yeah. No, that wasn't it for me. I was like, I want the facts. I want to know.
So, Tyler, it's Christmas. Little boy Tyler. Little girl Tyler.
I'm going back.
The present of all presents for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
I don't know. Oh my god, this is stress. This is pressure. I don't know.
Okay.
I literally don't. Wasn't that a shit answer? I have no clue.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was a shit answer.
I was like, a menorah. Give me a menorah for Christmas.
Hilarious.
No. Okay. My grandmother got me a massive Scooby-Doo, life-sized.
That's cute.
It was like my biggest love when
you
I was a child.
Scoobies?
I did Scooby-Doos. And after she died, I kept it. And sometimes it would move.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, Nana, is that you?
Yeah, nice.
I don't think it was her.
No.
I think it was probably just getting rearranged.
Jinkies.
But it was earthquakes.
It was fine.
It was earthquakes.
Exactly.
It was Babe's best Christmas present.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, best Christmas present as a kid. Well, I vividly remember really, really wanting an American Girl doll, Molly. And I remember writing my letter to Santa and explaining like why I wanted Molly and why I believe she was the best fit for me. And
lesbian
online dating.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like Addie doesn't work, Samantha doesn't work, but Molly, here's why. And I remember getting Molly and being really excited about that. But I got some cool shit. I got really great rollerblades once, and I rollerbladed all around my house.
I would break my neck.
Yeah.
That's impressive. God,
for sure. Yeah, no, not me. I was really quite agile.
Derby.
What about you?
Lesbian derby for sure.
What about you?
Me, the best Christmas present as a kid? Oh my goodness. I would probably say the life-size doll. There was a doll.
Tyra Banks?
Thank you, Tyra, for blessing me that Christmas. No, it was
oh my god,
a 5-foot black doll that just stood up and like moved like that. I had her for so long, you guys. I didn't throw that black doll away until I was about 13 years old.
Oh my god.
Because by the time she got there, she was naked and I was
a lesbian.
So
why was she naked?
Well,
this is just taking a turn.
Did it look like Wanda Sykes by the time you threw it out?
Oh my god, hilarious. It looked like Tyra when I got her and Wanda when she left. What did you do to that poor doll? God damn.
It happens.
That's hilarious.
It does happen.
It does. Scooby definitely looked like a chihuahua by the end. So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it happens.
He does like scissors. We can't have scissors around Tyra anymore.
No, why do you like scissors so much?
Evidently.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to just throw water on the thing. It's fine. Whatever.
I think we know the answer to this for you. Yes. But if there was one meal from your childhood that you could have.
Pasta. Read between the lines. Where is this interview going?
Remember with Parmesan pasta. Cheese?
No, not even.
No, we can't do cheese.
You just got to do straight butter. You got to get carbohydrates. Like, give it.
I understood. Love that for you.
Absolutely.
Have you ever just had flour? With water?
No, you know that's a great way to get food poisoning. That
really?
Flour actually carries salmonella and E. coli much more than other things.
Like
even eggs.
Chicken.
Yeah. So flour.
Okay,
that's why they
I'm just trying to give you a straight carb.
Dough.
You know?
Cookie dough.
It's really for the flour, not the eggs, is what you're telling me?
It's the flour and the cookie dough that'll make you sick more than the eggs.
That's fair.
Oh my God.
You can Google it. Fact check me.
Fact check them in the comments, you guys.
You guys do it.
I just want to know, have you ever taken a piece of pasta and fried it and eaten like a chip?
No, I just will eat a raw dog it though.
Stop it, Tyler, stop.
Choice, but just like
a ramen, you'll just bite into a crunchy cracker.
Yeah, a little crunchy cracker. crunchy cracker. And we just, you know, if we floss with it, we can feel like a...
It's your crunchy cracker.
Farmer.
Like Jennifer Coolidge
That's
would
crazy.
Eat a crunchy cracker.
I'm so jealous you guys get to have that many carbs. It makes me so mad at you both.
Well, have a plate of pasta.
I can't.
Yes.
I'll get the beaties.
The beaties.
I literally, my blood sugar will go like that high. I have to be very conscious.
It's
or like
we're
eat
white.
Once. It is because you're
it's
white.
Because we're very white and, you know.
You're Italian too, right?
Yep, I found out in my mid-20s.
Oh. Yeah.
Teresa is such an Italian name.
You would think, right?
Yeah,
I know.
My mom is named Teresa.
Yeah.
And very Italian.
Good name. Is she Italian as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Your mom is the Italian?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
And your dad is?
And he's just Dutch.
Oh, Dutch. That's cute. A lot of bread.
A lot of religious extremism on that side.
Yeah.
Like real, you know, Christian, like very
Oh, how do they feel about you?
I can only imagine.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, but Christian Reform Church.
They're like, gay's fine, but that other thing you do, I'm not down for
it. Kind of, it's fine. They're like, yeah. He shows his neck, you know, it's like, no.
How do you handle people saying that you're channeling devil spirits or dark spirits or things that are...
You know, I've learned that you can't really be understood by everybody. And all I can do is try to convey what I do and why I'm doing what I'm doing and show the result of it, you know, through really impactful, powerful readings. And if people take away something dark from that, then that's up to them. Mm-hmm. But my goal is always to kind of shed light on things, to be able to try to leave people better than I find them. And really not to try to convert people. I'm mm-hmm. not here about, you know, to try to make anyone believe any one thing. I think that this work inspires wonder and mm-hmm. curiosity yeah. and hopefully some introspection. Hopefully you watch a reading and you're like, whoa, I wonder if my loved ones are with me. I wonder if I can maybe have moments of intuition. These are bigger questions that I think we can ask and live more fully as a result.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I remember when people said they were stopped watching my show because I was psychic on my show and it was devil worshiping.
That had to be so challenging in that climate, especially when there weren't discussions even around the supernatural psychics in a traditional way. And for Disney to take that leap was huge.
It was very big, very interesting to see because it had such a beautiful, you know, all the people came and loved it and loved it. And then I just remember the subreddit of, yes. of like, this is a devil worshiper. She's this. I'm like, whoa, you guys. Like, one, it's a TV show. Yeah. Two, I believe it, so you're probably right. This is fantastic. Wow, that's yeah.
Reminds me of Melissa Joan Hart with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah. And we had the same conversation of just kind of interesting perception versus reality and people sometimes not being able to separate the character from the human being.
Yes, so. Very much so.
After I left you, my wife and I had multiple conversations about the aftermath of people leaving and what that's like. And one of my belief systems, which I don't care if you care, I don't care, is that people do come back. Sorry, spirits do come back on the earth if they choose to. Reincarnation, I do believe in that. And then I also believe that some spirits don't because they just don't want to be back here. I'm one of those ones that's probably not going to come back.
You and I both. Yeah, this is one and done. We're out of here.
I'm out of here.
She, on the other hand, you're coming back. I just really? Get the sense you're coming back.
She's not finished. She hasn't learned her full lesson yet. She wants to be back.
We can catch up. We'll take summer classes.
Do not validate this with Raven because Raven is going to be like, I told you, Miranda, you have so much to learn. This is going to bite me in the ass.
It's not going to bite you in the ass. I'm going to finish my thought.
I'm very okay.
But one of the things, and again, it's not a question, it's just a conversation. One of the things that I was intrigued about was that you also channel people that are here.
Yeah.
Which makes me go, there was a movie that I saw a while ago. I forgot the name of it. But this spirit jumped from body to body through time. And I was like, I was in my head like, he can do that because in my belief system, no one ever, the body leaves, but the spirit doesn't.
Sure.
And it goes from journey to journey. And so one of the questions she asked me was, you know, do you think like your dad was in another body now and moving forward? And I'm like, I do if he chose to. And am I making sense, you guys?
No, I get what you're saying.
And I feel like it's really interesting if you really think about that no one's ever gone. It gave me a little bit of peace because I'm like, okay, my brother was super young. That's something that you said. And I'm like, yeah, he'll probably be back. Yeah. He's not done. He's not over it. I'm over it. I'm not coming back, period. But that's all I had to say.
Wow.
Nothing special.
It really speaks to that kind of linear nature of reincarnation. So many people have this idea of, you know, we're born, we die, we're reborn, we die. And it might be a lot more complicated than that. I think or I suspect that perhaps consciousness seems to evolve or continue growing. And that expansion is really just a byproduct of growth.
Mm.
So if we think of expansion, what that means in the sense that like a first grader is working with a very different set of understandings than hopefully a 30-year-old.
Right. We hope.
We hope, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Puritanists out there. Some of us aren't. Some of the inner children. But, you know, that speaks, I think, to if we can take that analogy and look at it on a larger scale, if we are more, if we become more, perhaps we intuit other people's lived experiences as if they are our own.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's splitting hairs as to what reincarnation even is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It really is true.
I think that in a past life, I was a queen or a princess.
I can see that.
Like, no, Tyler, let her finish.
Yeah.
Because there are some things in life
where
you have no explanation, right? So I'm like, I don't understand really where this part of my personality comes from or this phobia comes from.
Yeah.
Or so the way that it's I like life. To play around with it.
Yeah.
Are you moving away from me?
No, I love it. No, I love it. I'm anticipatorily.
The way that I like to play with it is I think that I was like a bad princess or a bad queen.
Or a naughty girl.
Yeah.
Naughty.
And I think that I was locked up in a tower. And I think that's why I'm super claustrophobic today.
Can't do elevators.
And I think that I maybe was beheaded, which is why like my neck and shoulders hurt so bad. And I think that there was something about like organized religion because I think that the people that I reigned over
right.
were really religious.
Rained. She reigned over them. That's
reigned over them, bitches.
You were a passenger princess. That's the claustrophobia you're sensing.
Yeah, got it. Understood. No, but I think that. And I think that this, was confirmed to me because we did
it
by my experience that I'm just about to tell
Marie Antoinette? Is it, girl, oh, is it you?
Yes!
She came to me. No, we did a parade.
Yeah.
And had to sit in the back of the parade. It was like a motorcade situation. And I sat up there and I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was very jack. But I did this. It
just happened.
I was nervous about that, but I didn't lean into it. But I just did this. And I was like, this feels very correct. And who does, like, this is so royal.
Just avoid the tunnel.
I didn't clear
no tunnel.
But I'm just saying, I think that was who I was in a past life, and that's why I'm suffering for my sins in this life.
What happened?
I was murdered.
Oh.
I was beheaded.
Oh, right. Sorry, couldn't keep up with the chronology. A lot of lifetimes to keep up with here, a lot of lore. Beheaded, that's right.
Yeah.
By a person.
By the people I reigned over.
By the people that the reigned
over. By that reigned over. Yeah, yes. Got it. That, I mean, apt, they had some tensions they needed to work on.
They did not bring her the right mattress.
No.
They did not bring her the potatoes she wanted.
Right.
She was very vocal.
I know
they
we
cut
think
those.
This sounds crazy, but I'm saying, I really think there's something true to this because I also just have this feeling today where I think that part of what I struggle against is... Whatever, you guys.
No, I love it. Keep going,
babe.
I just think that my struggles in this life are literally me having to be punished for what I did in my last life, so I can't be all that I want to be in this life.
Oh, you can step into who you are, princess. You got this. You are the queen. I'm the court jester. I think you and I in a past life might have...
Well, I married the court jester.
It's came full circle.
I do.
It really has.
We
really
know each other.
But it worked out.
Yeah, now we're here at this table.
Yeah,
and I'm
with Raven.
With Raven, our court jester.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know. What would you say you were in a past life?
A guy.
Well, duh.
A rich man.
You think a rich man?
Yeah, I think I was a rich man.
Yeah.
Because I'm still striving. trying to get back to my old life.
You're just trying. Well, that would make sense why you feel so connected to rich men.
Good try, babes. Good try.
I tried.
We had problems.
What do you think you were in a past life, Tyler?
You know, in a past life, I really think I was just clam chowder. I think I was just a good old bowl of Maryland clam chowder.
Okay.
New England?
New England clam chowder. Is Maryland not in New England?
Baltimore.
Evidently don't know
my
geography.
The red one or the white one?
The red one.
Oh, you were the red one, Tyler?
But why didn't you be the white one? More carby.
Carby, true.
It's
anyway, clam chowder, the essence of the clam.
Okay, got it.
I was shucked from my little shell. Depearled and tossed into some cream and brew. and then this lifetime is just a reckoning to try to process the chattering.
The clam chattering that occurred.
We're all processing, all three of us.
Clam chowder. That's hilarious.
I mean, then I was definitely peanut butter at one point.
You guys put in the comments, red or white clam chowder, which one?
I mean, both are good.
No, both they're not.
They are.
It's the white one.
It's like the texture with the red. It does a little bit of that. It's a little rubber bandy, a little calamari situation.
Which
veneers are going to fall off. You better watch out.
I want veneers.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Don't get them. I got them because I had to because my teeth were just cracking due to, I don't know, not
the carbs?
Yeah,
the carbs.
The french fries were taking their...
Yeah, they were taking their
coffee.
No, I really do want them.
Yeah.
She don't need them.
I want them. I have a question.
Yeah.
So
this is what we do on the show. We ask you that we tell you that we have questions for you and then ask you.
Isn't it fun? Are you having a great time?
Getting through this water. Yeah.
So in a former life, in this lifetime, I was a birth doula.
Oh, one of her other careers.
No way.
Yes.
So you saw the birth of life.
I saw the birth of life. It's an amazing experience. It's an amazing moment. But after doulas sometimes would get together to process because birth is really intense.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is there like a medium processing group where you get to go and like download?
And not on Facebook?
Oh, God. We have to process each other more than anything.
Got it.
It's that kind of a career path.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where everyone works so differently, it's kind of hard to get a consensus.
Mm.
But to your point, like death, like birth, you know, it's transitionary and it's a privilege to be able to, you know, be a part of those conversations.
And it's heavy,
it's heavy
at times, no?
And it can be secondarily traumatic, you know?
Yeah.
Even good, experiences when they're a jolt to the system, you know, can leave us with some trauma.
So how do you self-care?
You know, I just drink lots of water and clam chowder. And it between those sense. Two things, you know, stained glass windows, good structure, and...
And he has good skin.
I go so full boozy-toozy. No, you're very sweet. I have eczema, actually. Wait. I feel very Kardashian with psoriasis, except I got, like, the second-rate version, which is eczema. So atopic dermatitis, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
all up in here. Oh, yeah. No, you should see. Oh.
Your hands look beautiful.
Yeah.
You keep looking into them.
They are my only... They are my best asset. I have absolutely no booty got back, but I got some fingers when my bird is not eating mine.
Oh, what kind of bird do you have?
I have a little conure. Aww. He's about that big. He's a little parrot, and he's pissed off at me. I don't know what I did.
And he pecks at you.
He does. He's going, mmm.
So then what do you have to do for your skin?
Oh, you know, cry.
You know you can fix eczema by not eating carbs.
That's what they say, and that's what we're not doing. That's why we look like we have leprosy. So that's where we're at. And it's okay. I mean, I realize I'm not winning any awards for my beauty. It's really more for what's in here.
Have you ever
I've accepted this.
Have you ever heard of a brand called Prequel?
No.
Oh,
because
it's great.
Prequel is a
They're sponsoring today's podcast?
They are not.
They sponsor my life.
They should.
They sponsor
they
parts
don't.
Of my face. But I'm going to talk to you about it after the fact, because they do have some really, really nice products that have helped people that I know with really severe eczema.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take all the help I can get.
Yeah. Because that can be really, really painful more than anything.
And it is. It is. Yeah. It's a really dampening my modeling career.
I bet.
So.
Yo, Tyler got jokes.
I know. Tyler is
Y'all
joking
know
nonstop.
This, though? He got jokes. You are,
he's gonna have another
comedium special, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, he was ready for that.
That one has been
Netflix
so
comedy special.
Overdone.
By who?
You thought you got
himself.
Writer's block. Imagine reader's block. Like, I've got one-liners all day. It's just, hilarious. And they're not, none of them are good. I'm trying them out. New material, though. We'll see.
You're thriving here. Don't worry. We're gonna have it.
You guys, let's toast.
Let's toast.
Absolutely.
Toasting to you.
All right. Toasty, toasty.
Yes.
That's right.
Today we are toasting to a coffee shop called the Milano Cafe.
Ooh.
And this coffee shop is located in Middleborough, Massachusetts.
Amazing.
And they posted a sign outside of their window, and they said that if you would come in and do your best dance move for 5 seconds, you could get a free coffee. And the people of this town were not shy. They came in, they danced, they did their whole little jiggle. The owner of that coffee shop had seen a pizza shop do it, so they adopted the idea.
Nothing's new.
And nothing is new. And they just spread some joy. And I think I just want to shout them out for spreading a little bit of joy.
Well done, Milano.
Well done. Spread the legs, spread the joy, spread the cheeks, spread. Don't drop that. Don't drop that. You better get a little.
Got it.
All that stinky leg up here. No one got the clam chowder. Clam chowder. Okay. All right.
That was so great, Tyler.
So thank you.
Are you going to be doing that on tour?
On tour, and left and right leg, and you have to pay extra for that for the VIP package. But I will spread my legs.
So tell us, Tyler, where can we find you? Where can we see you?
Yes.
What are you doing?
What's coming up?
All over. You know, between Netflix every Wednesday at 3 p.m., I'm traveling in the country. I have a live tour, which is a lot of fun. So I'm going to like 30 different cities across the U.S. in 2025. And people can check out my website, TylerHenryHollywoodMedium.com, for a full schedule. It's a mouthful, but I promise it's worth it. And it's a lot of fun. And then Fireside, I meet with people virtually every week. I do private reading giveaways, virtual group readings. It's a really beautiful community.
And that wait list.
Yep, 600,000 people last we checked. So
Tyler.
By doing the private reading giveaways and doing these group events, though, it allows me to give back and meet that demand. So
it's really beautiful. You're amazing.
Thank you
for being here.
Who knew that Tyler Henry has some rhythm.
Got jokes.
Rhythm
and junk
in his
truck. Got a little bit of stinky leg.
Look at it all.
Stinky leg.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you so much.